Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we are about to get hot and heavy back into our journey through Genesis, we pray, Lord, that you would make us attentive, help us to correctly interpret your word, and then correctly apply it to our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, let's get after it. In our message from last time in this series, here's a quick recap. We saw Joseph's brothers, who were very jealous of him, sell him to a group of traveling merchants who took their brother Joseph down to Egypt, sold him to a guy named Potiphar, who was the captain of Pharaoh's bodyguard. Now, after they had done this, they took that coat of many colors, that fancy robe that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. They slaughtered a goat. They smeared blood on their brother's coat. They took it back to Jacob and they said, hey, Dad, we think something bad happened to Joseph. And Jacob was so brokenhearted that he refused to be comforted. He thought his son was dead, but Joseph was far from dead. In fact, even though he was serving this Potiphar guy as a slave, Potiphar began to see real quick, everything this boy does turns out right. I mean, God is blessing everything this kid does. So because of that, he put Joseph in charge of his entire estate. Looked like maybe things were going to be okay. But no. Trouble found Joseph down in Egypt just like it had found him in Canaan. Because Mrs. Potiphar, she had a thing for Joseph. She said, boy, he's fine. And day after day, she continued to proposition him. Come to bed with me. Let's have sex. My husband's gone. Come on, you know you want to. And every day he would reject her advances. Finally, she got so mad, she falsely accused him of attempted rape, lied to her husband, and told him, Joseph tried to get up all up on me, but I yelled and he ran away. He believed her lies and had Joseph thrown in prison. So let's recap this. Joseph is just a teenage boy. He's living a fairly peaceable life at home with his brothers. His brothers hate his guts. They sell him to some guys who then turn around and sell him as a slave. He's a long, long way from his own home country. He's trying to do the right thing. And what's he get for a reward? Thrown in prison. Now, could things possibly go much worse for this kid? But we're told even in prison, God was with him. You going through a hard time right now? Something going on in your life where you feel like you're alone in the dark? Like spiritually speaking, you're locked up in a dungeon? Let me tell you something you might have forgot. God is still with you. Even if you feel like you're all alone, praise God that our salvation and his promises are not based on our feelings. They are based upon biblical fact that cannot change. You say, well, why is God allowing me to go through such a horrible ordeal? We're going to talk about that later. It may be for the same reasons he let Joseph go through all this, to prepare him for something greater. The chief jailer sees this young prisoner, man, everything he does is blessed. He's so impressed with Joseph, he puts him in charge of all the other prisoners. Joseph's in charge of everything in the prison. Chief jailer doesn't have to worry about nothing. In our message for today, which is entitled Dreams and Deliverance, we're going to see God's plan for young Joseph begin to unfold. He's going to go from being a prisoner in a dungeon to being the second most powerful man in the nation of Egypt. So think about it like this. In short order, this guy's going from being a convict to the vice president of Egypt. That's quite a job promotion. It's good work if you can get it. We begin with verse 1 in chapter 40. After Joseph had already been in prison for quite some time, Pharaoh became angry with his cupbearer and his baker, so he threw them into prison. We don't have cupbearers anymore, but the cupbearer and the baker, they actually had positions of great importance. See, back in those days, if people thought you was messing up, they didn't have no impeachment inquiry. They would have you offed while you were sleeping, or they would put poison in your food and watch you die. So the cupbearer and the baker, they had to be trustworthy men. The cupbearer actually had to taste everything the Pharaoh ate or drank to make sure it wasn't poison. And the baker had to be a trustworthy guy because he was the one preparing all his meals. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us what these fellas did. But whatever the reason was, Pharaoh got so mad he had them thrown in prison. Who's in charge of these guys? None other than Joseph. Well, one night, both of these fellas have a dream. They wake up. They remember the dream, but they can't make heads or tails of it. So the next morning when Joseph comes down to, you know, get him food or water or whatever he's doing for these guys, he sees they look all sad, and he says, "Hey, guys, it ain't that bad. I mean, I'm in jail too. You know, you see a smile on my face. What's troubling you guys?" They said, "Joseph, man, we both had dreams last night. Ain't nobody here to interpret them for us. We don't know what they mean, and we want to know what they mean." He says, "Why don't you tell me your dream, and perhaps God will give us an interpretation?" See, he's no longer the spoiled little tattletale that he used to be. All this time as a slave and in prison has taught him some things about self-discipline and patience and humility. God is molding him. Perhaps God can give you an answer. So the cupbearer, he says, "Well, in my dream, man, I saw a vine. It had three branches on it, and these branches began to bud and blossom, and then there were big bunches of grapes on these branches, and I took the grapes and squeezed them into Pharaoh's cup, and I put his cup in his hand." Joseph said, "That's an easy one. God has revealed to me what that is. The three branches, man, those are 3 days. God is telling you at the end of 3 days, you're once again going to be restored to your old job and put Pharaoh's cup in his hand again. So, good on you. But friend, do me a favor. When you get your old job back, please let Pharaoh know that I haven't done anything wrong. I was kidnapped from my own homeland, brought down here and sold as a slave, and even now I've done nothing to deserve being in this rotten dungeon. See if you can help get me out of here." The guy said, "Bro, I got your back. I promise, as soon as I get out of here, I'm going to tell the Pharaoh all about you." More on that in a minute. Now, when the baker sees how positive this interpretation, well, he's like, "Ooh, do me now. Let me tell you my dream." He says, in my dream, I was carrying 3 baskets on my head, and they had all kinds of bread and baked goods in those baskets. But birds kept coming down and eating the bread out of the basket. What's that mean, Joseph? Am I getting my job back too?" Joseph said, "Well, friend, it's like this. Those 3 baskets, those are 3 days. In 3 days, the Pharaoh is going to lift off your head and hang you." The baker said, "Wait right here. I'm going to go take a nap and see if I can dream something better." But unfortunately for him, Joseph's interpretation was correct. The 3rd day was actually Pharaoh's birthday. He called up the cupbearer and the baker out of prison to appear before him. He gave the cupbearer his old job back, and he had the baker hanged. Remember what the cupbearer said? Oh, I'm going to talk to Pharaoh. You know what he did? Nothing. He forgot all about it. And Joseph stayed in prison for 2 more years after that. Now we begin chapter 41. Joseph's still down in prison. One night, the old Pharaoh has a dream. In his dream, he's standing beside the Nile River. These 7 cows come up out of the water. Man, they're good-looking cows. They're big and healthy and strong, and they look wonderful. And they are grazing on lush green grass. But then out of the same river, these 7 other cows come out, and they're real skinny and gaunt, and their faces are all sunk in. They're mangy-looking and real ugly. And they walk up to the big fat cows and they just swallow them up. But they still look as skinny and ugly as they did before. Look like they ain't even eat nothing. The Pharaoh woke up, man, he's kind of afraid. What in the world does this mean? But eventually he got calmed back down enough that he goes back to sleep. And he has another dream. In this dream, he sees a stalk of grain. And it's got 7 great big fat healthy heads of grain on one stalk. It's just a beautiful healthy plant. After that though, he sees another stalk of grain and its heads are all withered and shrank by the hot east wind. It's scorched. It swallows up the healthy stalk and still looks horrible. Pharaoh's starting to kind of freak out a little bit because this is kind of scary to him. So he calls in all his wise men, his magicians, his enchanters, all of these guys. He says, fellas, here's what I dreamed. It's frightening. I have no idea what it means. Tell me something. They say, King, live forever. We don't have a clue. It is only then, 2 years later now, the cupbearer says, oh, dog, I knew I forgot something. King Pharaoh, today I'm reminded of my faults and shortcomings. A couple years ago, you got mad at me and the guy that used to be the baker, and you had us thrown in jail. One night we both had dreams. We didn't know what they meant. There was this young Hebrew fella in there named Joseph, who was able to interpret our dreams for us. And his interpretations that he gave us were exactly right. I got my job back. Thank you very much. And the other guy, well, we don't want to talk about him. The Pharaoh said, go get that boy and bring him up to see me right now. So they run down to the dungeon. Don't miss this. They get Joseph cleaned up and shaved. Put some clean clothes on him, brought him in to see Pharaoh. Just want to point something out to you. Hebrew men, set apart by God as his chosen people, as part of this, a sign that they were chosen by God, this is part of their culture, part of their religious customs. All of these brothers had beards. Who was clean shaven in those days? The pagan people that worshiped false gods, the Egyptians, they shaved. That's why they shaved Joseph, so he looked presentable to see the Pharaoh. Now look here. Don't hear what I'm not saying. Don't go home and say, Pastor said I was an atheist because I shave. No, 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 no. That's not what I said at all. I'm just telling you, this was a big deal. There is a case in the Bible where David sends some ambassadors to another country and they humiliate David's guys by shaving half of their beards off. This was a humiliation for a Jewish man not to have facial hair. So they shaved a guy because that was their custom. So it was the pagans that were doing this, right? They get him all cleaned up, dress him in Egyptian clothes. Pharaoh says, son, I hear you can interpret dreams. This is Joseph's big chance. He says, no, I can't. But God can. You tell me your dream, perhaps God will let us know what, even now, he's given glory to God. This boy has come a long way. Pharaoh says, okay, here's the dream. And you guys already know what it is. The seven good cows get swallowed up by the scrawny cows. They still look terrible. The seven good heads of grain, they get swallowed up by the scrawny, burned up. So he tells Joseph the whole thing. Joseph says, your dreams are one and the same, Pharaoh. God has revealed to you what he's about to do. The seven good cows, the seven good heads of grain, those are 7 good years. 7 years of good harvest, 7 years of plenty, 7 years of abundance. You're going to be blessed. But those seven scrawny cows and withered heads of grain, those are 7 years of famine. And that famine is going to be so severe, nobody's even going to remember the 7 good years. That's how bad it's going to be. So the reason you dreamed this twice is because God has firmly decided this is how it's going to happen. So, if you want to save your country from utter annihilation, you need to find a man with some great wisdom. You put him in charge of the land. You appoint some commissioners underneath him, and you tax the people 20% of their crops for the next 7 years. You take that 20% and you put it in storehouses and save it. Then when the famine starts, you're going to have more than enough food to get by, and you'll save Egypt from total oblivion. Pharaoh said, dog, this Jewish boy is smart. He went and talked to all his advisors. They said, great plan. Then Pharaoh says, you know, since God has made all of this known to you, ain't nobody in my kingdom as wise and discerning as you are. You're going to be in charge of everything. Only with respect to the throne am I greater than you. You're in charge, Joseph. He puts his signet ring on Joseph's finger. He dresses him in royal robes and puts a golden necklace on him. He gives Joseph a fancy chariot, and everywhere Joseph goes, men got to run in front of his chariot to let everybody up front know, make way for the boss. Here comes Joseph, so clear the way. We are told that when he became second in command of Egypt, he was 30. Remember how old he was when he got sold as a slave? 17. 13 years he has suffered as a slave and a prisoner. Look at his reward. Friend, if you're suffering right now through something and you cannot make heads or tails of it, it is a distinct possibility. If you know for sure you don't have a bunch of ongoing sin in your life, it is a very distinct possibility. God is putting pressure on you in the crucible. He's putting you through the refiner's fire, burning away all the stuff that is useless to him to prepare you for something greater. The longer and more difficult the trial, the greater the reward on the other side. Joseph suffered for 13 years, and now he is reaping the benefits of everything that he went through. Pharaoh changes his name, gives him an Egyptian name, Zaphnath-Paneah. That means sustainer of life, because that's what he's doing. He also hooks him up with a wife. They have 2 boys. The oldest is Manasseh, the youngest is Ephraim, and that'll be important later in our study. You see how God has done this with him? Once again, he's no longer this spoiled little child, daddy's favorite, right, who always got his way. God has taught him humility and patience and self-discipline. He was preparing him for this role. Now, during the 7 years of abundance, we're told that Joseph collected so much food, they stopped keeping track of it. They said, man, we got so much, we ain't counting nothing else. I'm not weighing one more thing because the grain is like sand on the seashore. We got more than we can possibly ever use. The famine got so bad that not only did the people in Egypt come to Pharaoh to buy grain, I said buy, so did all the nations that surrounded Egypt. So not only did God save lots and lots of people's lives through the wisdom he gave Joseph, Pharaoh has now got more money than Davy Crockett. He is a rich, rich man. Now, since there's a famine, it spreads, right? It spreads all over the place. Finally, word gets all the way back to Canaan, to Jacob, that there's food down in Egypt. Now, think about this, you dads. You see your kids sitting around doing nothing to correct a problem. Don't this sound just like a dad? Listen, he goes up to his boys. He says, why are you guys sitting around and just looking at each other? I've heard there's grain in Egypt. Go down there and buy some before we all starve to death. 10 of the brothers, they head out, but Jacob would not let his youngest son, Benjamin, go. You may remember that Joseph and Benjamin, they are the only two sons from Jacob's beloved wife, Rachel. He believes Joseph is dead. There's no way in the world he's letting his youngest son go with his brothers and meet a similar fate. Now, who you think them brothers got to talk to ask for food? Joseph is the boss. Remember his dreams when he was a kid? He told him, I got dreams that you guys bow down to me, right? There was some symbolism and some illustrations in there, but basically his dream meant that his brothers were going to bow down to him. And they told him, you little runt, we'll never bow down to you. You're out of your mind. Well, check this out. His brothers arrived and they did what? They bowed down to him with their faces to the ground. All these years later, his dreams are being fulfilled. As soon as Joseph saw his brothers, he knew exactly who they were. But he pretended to be a stranger and he spoke real harshly to them. See, they didn't recognize him. A boy changes a lot in 13 years. Not to mention, why would they be expecting their Hebrew brother to be dressed like an Egyptian prince? They had no clue who he was. Well, he disguised himself even further because he pretended he didn't know how to speak Hebrew. He's using an interpreter, and he spoke real harshly to him. He said, where do you guys come from? What do you want? They said, well, sir, we've come from the land of Canaan to buy food. And he said, no, you guys are spies. I know your type. You've come down here to check our land out to see where we're weak and vulnerable. They said, no, we've only come for food. We're all brothers of the same, from the same family. We all got the same dad. There used to be 12 of us, but one of our brothers died, and the little baby brother, he's home with dad. We're not spies. Now, when they say one of our brothers is dead, they're talking to the brother they're talking about. He decides to give his brothers a little test to see if they've changed. He says, well, I think you're spies, and this is how I'm going to test you. I will not allow you guys to leave unless you bring your youngest brother down here to prove that your story's true. I'm going to let one of you go get him. The rest of you guys, I'm locking up in jail. And if you bring your little brother back, it's all good. I know you're telling the truth. But if you don't bring him back, I'm going to know you're lying and you're spies, and I'm killing every one of you. So he locks him up for 3 days. I think that was actually a pretty mild response. He spent 13 years as a slave and a prisoner. He locks him up for 3 days. Then he goes down and through an interpreter, he says, look, I'm a man who fears God, so I've changed my mind. What I'm going to do is I'll let all you guys go back and get your brother, but I'm keeping one of you locked up as kind of collateral to make sure you come through. So Simeon, I'm locking you up. He puts Simeon in jail. The rest of the brothers, they say, they don't know he can understand them. They say, surely we're being punished because of what we did to Joseph. We saw how distressed he was when we threw him down in that cistern, how he pleaded with us to turn him loose. But we sold him off as a slave, and now we're bearing the consequences for it. And the oldest brother, Reuben, he says, didn't I tell you guys not to do nothing bad to him? Now look at the trouble we're in. We're going to be held accountable for our brother's blood. It's horrible what we've done. When Joseph sees that they actually truly have repentance in their heart, he has to turn away because he's crying. Then he gives orders to have all their sacks filled with grain, but he secretly has the money they paid him put back in the bags with the grain. They load the bags up on the donkeys. They head out. That night they stop to camp. One of the brothers says, oh, my donkey's hungry. I'm going to give him some of this grain. He opens it up. And there's all his money in the bag. He says, oh, Lord. Now this guy in Egypt not only going to think we're spies, he's going to think we're thieves. He's going to kill us for sure. So he tells his brothers, look, man, my money's back in here. We better get home quick and tell Dad. So they go back and they tell Jacob, man, that guy down in Egypt, he's tough. He really yelled at us and threatened us. He locked us up in jail for a few days. And he said that if we, and he locked Simeon up, and Simeon's still in jail. He said, if we don't bring Benjamin back to prove that we're all brothers like we told him, that he won't let Simeon out. And as they begin to open their, all their money was back in the bags. Jacob sees this, and he really starts stressing out. He says, we got our money back. The guy's going to think we're a thief. And why did you idiots tell him that you're all brothers and not protect your little brother Benjamin? I don't want him going down there. And they say, well, Dad, we got to take him. Reuben, the oldest, right? Oldest son. He's supposed to be responsible. Look what he says. Hey, Dad, let me take Benjamin to Egypt. And if I don't bring him back, you can kill my sons. This guy's a fool. What grandfather would possibly want to kill his own two grandsons? So I imagine Jacob saying, boy, you just ain't right. First, you little freak, you sleep with your own stepmother, which I still ain't happy that you did that. Now you're telling me if you don't bring Benjamin back, you want me to kill your sons? What's wrong with you, boy? I imagine like the voice of Buford T. Justice from Smokey and the Bandit saying, there is no way you came from my loins. That wasn't even in my notes. So he says, you guys are gonna bring my gray head down to the grave in sorrow. First Joseph dies, now Simeon's in jail. You want to deprive me of Benjamin? Everything's against me. You guys are killing me here. And he refused to let Benjamin go to Egypt. Eventually, they're going to run out of food. What are they going to do then? Well, if you want to know the answer to this question and many others, you're going to have to come back next time. We'll pick it up right here, and we'll see how Joseph deals with his brothers when they finally go back to Egypt. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this church family. I thank you for my brothers and my sisters. I thank you for their prayers, for their love, their support, not only for me, but also for one another. It is a good thing, Lord, to be able to come in here and be loved and accepted and not have to try to pretend to be something we're not. I ask your blessing, Lord, upon every man, woman, and child here today. And for those that are going through some really hard trials right now, Father, I pray that you would give them the strength and the perseverance they need to battle against the devil and all of his evil spirits that try to stir up so much trouble for us. Father, bring them through on the other side with a reward that is beyond anything they can ask or think. We ask this all in the mighty name of Jesus and for his sake. Amen. Before we bow for the benediction, just let me give you a friendly reminder. If you do have a special prayer need or request today, and you want prayer about that right now, we'll have Brother Gary up here. I'm going to ask Brother Wade to come forward as we close. Please let your prayer need be known to these guys, and no topic is off limits. Everything you tell them will remain confidential, but they will pray with you and for you right now if that's something that you need. Let's go ahead and bow for the benediction, please. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.